Hello, friends. Welcome to the Elaine's Literary Salon Show. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, PR Director of the Salon and founder of IncandescentPR.com. I'm also the co-host of this podcast and video series with my business partner, best-selling thriller novelist Jeffrey James Higgins. He does the lion's share of the interviews with the hundreds of authors we have had the privilege to feature on the show. And we are proud to say that in June 2026, we hit number one on Spotify and Apple Podcasts for literary salon shows. So that rising tide lifts all boats. And we are thrilled to be here today with the amazing Carrie Haggerty and her fantastic dog, Olive. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So, Carrie, you have done an amazing job taking the stories of Olive and turning them into magical children's books.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So hello to fabulous Olive. So she is
Yes.
your inspiration. Tell us what made you want to write these children's books.
She is. You know, I've always kind of writing's always been a part of my life ever since childhood, never as a profession. And I was, after my brother had some success, as you've interviewed my brother before, I got to thinking, well, I could kind of do this too. And she's my best friend and constant companion. So yeah, so she was the inspiration behind it.
I love
And
it.
she's
So it's
adorable.
three books, two are out so far,
Yes.
one's on its way. And the
Yes.
first book, Olive Learns to Surf. All right, you got to tell us.
Yes.
How do you teach a
Yes.
dog to surf?
I'm gonna set her down. She's a little
All
heavy
right,
right now.
go
She's
for
like too many treats.
it.
Teaching her to surf was quite a challenge. So I had another dog at the time, and the older dog passed away. So all of my friends said, "You've got to get another dog for Olive because she'll be lonely." So my school of thought was either I get another dog for her to stay home alone with, or she comes with me everywhere. So I decided to give it a couple of months and try and turn her into adventure dog. But she's afraid of everything. So I love to surf, paddleboard. I live here in South Florida, so I'm constantly in the water. And I thought, well, I'm gonna see if she'll go paddleboarding with me because we have some very calm days. So I started slow in the house, and I have a really large inflatable paddleboard. So it's that kind of rubbery material so she doesn't go skidding off of it. And I started with it deflated in the living room, and I'd give her treats and a little clicker, and she knows her place. And then I'd start feeding her her dinner there. She got comfortable. Then I blew it up, so it's a little unstable. And same thing, we just worked through it. You know, just in the evening, she'd have her dinner sitting on my paddleboard in the middle of my living room. And then it was time to transition it to the water. So I picked a very calm day. We went out and she loved it. So I kept doing that several times and I never dreamed of surfing with her. I just never really thought about it. And one day I forgot to check the app on my phone and to check the surf report. And there was just little waves. I mean, we're South Florida. We're not like the North Shore of Hawaii or anything. So there was just some little waves. And I thought, well, let me just, you know, kind of rock the board and see if she likes it. She loved it. So I came back the next day and the waves were a little bit bigger. And I thought, well, I could probably pop up and ride this wave. I was a little arrogant and a little overconfident, and I promptly knocked her off the board, fell off. She somehow scrambled back on, and I watched as my board just went sailing by me with the dog on it. So the board beached and she bolted. And I was like, oh, I just undid months of work. This was terrible. And she did like a little happy dance and she ran and jumped right back on the board. And I thought, well, okay, I think I might have a surfer here. And that was it. That was about 7 years ago. And she just loves it. I literally cannot grab a surfboard in my house without her howling to go with me.
That's amazing. So is this a thing? Do dogs surf in South Florida?
Yeah, you know, they do in South Florida. It's really big in California. And the last time we spoke to, I said, if you ever want to go down that rabbit hole on YouTube, start looking up dog surf competitions. They are hilarious. They have some on the East Coast here of Florida, but this really big in California, and it's adorable. I mean, the dogs are in full-on costumes. Some of them have, you know, mohawks dyed all crazy colors, and it's usually to raise charity, and it's all very tongue-in-cheek, but it's pretty good. There's some pretty good dogs out there.
That is so impressive. All right, let's
Yeah.
talk a little bit about the book. It's set in the beautiful seaside town of Shady Cove, where we meet a bunch of Olive's fabulous anthropomorphic friends, a sweet and silly seagull named Sam, and the daring and delightful dolphin named Dina. This is a lesson in courage, as you've described. Tell us some more about these characters and creating a story for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So no one wants to read a book about me teaching my dog to surf. I'm not very interesting to small children, I guess. So I thought, well, kids love animals, and I just replace myself in the books with a different cast of, different little animal characters. They're a little bit more interesting for kids. And the common like theme with all of the books is overcoming fears. So childhood fear and being afraid to try something new is really common. We all go through it, even adults go through it. So being afraid to try something new, and then how the power of friendship and having friends help you with that makes it so much easier to try something new when you've got your best buddy with you.
Oh, I love that. So you also in books 2 and 3, you take Olive skiing and camping. So I
Yes.
assume that she actually does that with you. Did you teach her to ski?
Actually, the skiing's the one thing she doesn't do. So she does go camping with me. That's book number two. And same thing, I can't grab a tent in the house without her thinking, that she's going with me. I'm a long distance backpacker, so sometimes I go backpacking and I can't take her with me. She's too small, and she's not happy when I don't take her. But we do a lot of like state park car camping here in Florida together, and she loves it. So that's the second book. And then the third one, skiing. The inspiration behind the book is actually how I learned to ski, which is kind of being unceremoniously shoved down a mountain when you're a total beginner by my older brother. So Olive never learned to ski. We are in Florida, but I had this adorable picture of her where she won a gold medal, and I took her in a 5K run. And she sat in a stroller. I did the running. And when we crossed the finish line, the lady was so cute. She put the gold medal on Olive. And just the look, I mean, she looked like she was so proud of herself. And I thought, oh, that's adorable. So in book number three, she wins a gold medal, but she really won the gold medal for a 5K race in a stroller. So
That's
little
how.
creative license there.
Oh, what a good doggy mommy you are. That's so fun.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, she's just awesome.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful to have those adventures and to teach courage to kids. So, what's the reception from children?
It's been fantastic. So I've gotten, I think I probably got the best compliment of my entire career. One of my friends, because I at first just gave the book to friends that had small children and said, I don't know if I'm on the right path here. Can you just kind of let me know what your kids think? And I got a call from the parent, and they said, listen, I'm going to pay you the highest compliment I can pay an author. I hate your book. And I was kind of like, oh, I beg your finest pardon. You hate my book. And they said, yes, because I have to read it every single night to my child, and I'm sick of it. So I thought, oh gosh, that's fantastic. So they're like, yeah, I let them choose their books, and they just keep saying, I want Olive, I want Olive. So that was a good compliment. And since then, it's been about a year, and the reception has just been fantastic. So I've got some teachers that have gotten the book, and they love kind of just the messaging. It's fun and silly, but it's still a really good message behind it.
Oh, absolutely. It's not, I mean, it's powerful, right? To like the
Yeah.
illustrations are fabulous. So let's get a little bit into the process. First, let's start with your family. So this is
Yes.
dedicated to your Papa Haggerty, who was a big
Yes.
fan of Olive's and she loved him. So tell us that story.
Yeah, so we lost my father last year, and he was not really a huge animal lover until he met Olive, and they were just absolute best buds. I mean, she just could not wait to go to Grandpa's house. So he was always, since my childhood, and anything that I ever did was just my biggest champion, and always very encouraging. And he just was obsessed with Olive, and the feeling was mutual. She just adored him.
And you told me offline that there is a story about the publishing date that had to do with your dad.
Oh yes. So my illustrator is the most fantastic woman. We'll talk about her in a minute. So the hardest part of this process was getting stuff online and all of like the technical stuff with getting formats and bleeds and everything. And I had just an arbitrary deadline in my mind was the 1 year anniversary of my father passing, which was October 29th. And my illustrator is so sweet, Donna. She stayed up with me all night while she's sending me files and I'm uploading files. And I'm like, Donna, it was like 11:52. And I'm like, it has to be published today. And we did it. It was published on that day. So it was very, very special.
I love that. So Donna Stackhouse is your illustrator.
Yes,
How did
Donna
you meet her
Stackhouse.
and how do you guys work back and forth?
process was really difficult as well, because there's so many online scammers, there's so many people that promise the world and we're going to do this, this, and this. And it was very hard to navigate. So I thought, well, I have a full-time job, so I can take my time to do this. And I searched and searched and searched. And I was narrowing stuff down on a Google map, because after so many scammers on the internet, I was like, I want someone that's local, a physical person that I can actually see and, and have that one-on-one with. So she lives about an hour and a half away from me. So that ended up being crucial, because she was wonderful in like giving me samples of how she envisioned Olive based on my drawings and things for her and my photographs. And it just wasn't resonating. And I was like, her personality's not coming through. So she said, well, come on up and have lunch. So I drove Olive up to her house and she got to meet Olive. And the first sketch she did after that, she nailed it.
Wow.
So it really helped for her to meet her in person.
So the children's book process, right? Some people go the traditional route and get a big five publisher to publish their work. You chose to self-publish, and tell us a little bit more about finding an illustrator. So you cast a wide net, you looked for an illustrator, and how did you find Donna?
So I cast the wide net, and like I said, it was narrowing it down. I'm zooming in on a Google map, just putting in children's book illustrators near me and calling so many people and visiting the websites and seeing if I liked their work. And I finally narrowed it down to Donna. And just, she really nailed the character, and she's so pleasant and wonderful to work with. I don't feel like I'm hiring someone. I feel like I'm calling a girlfriend, and we're talking through ideas, and she'll have a little suggestion on something to change, because I've been very rigid on this is how I want it to be. And she's so creative and great. So she's been a real help. For the self-publishing, so I looked at the big publishing houses, and no shade against them. But I would have had to hire a literary agent, and they take 15%. And then that's if they even look at the submission. I think there was someone gave me an estimate. There's like 30 million books being circulated at any one time. And as a brand new, unknown, untested author, I would have gotten 5%. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is my blood, my sweat, my tears, in this, and all of my hard work. It just didn't really seem right. So my brother had gone through the process, and he gave me a great piece of advice. He said, you have a full-time job. You are not reliant on this for your income. Give it a full calendar year on your own and see what you can do. If you can't, then you're going to have to start submitting. And it's been fantastic. So it's not quite quit your day job thing, but it's getting close. So I thought, and it hasn't been a full year yet. So, it works for some people to go with a traditional publisher. For me, it really worked. I built a full e-commerce website all on my own, and I'm able to do sales like that. I'm on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. You're able to do it if you put in the work, and it's a lot of work.
It's definitely a lot of work, but you've just rocked it so hard.
Yeah,
And you
thank you.
also, and we were talking when we met in person a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about going into surf shops and bringing it there. Tell a little bit,
Yes.
introduce me to
Yes. So I know myself, like if I know something is kind of created by a person and not a big corporation and someone's a local, I'm always a little bit more drawn to their products. So I thought, well, I'm kind of my target market. I'm a customer. So I thought, well, let me go into these little beach shops, and they've got little gift areas and little surf shops, and just introduce myself. Hey, I'm a local surfer and I surf with my dog literally right behind your store. Would you want to sell the book? And I've had overwhelming response. So it's only 10 at a time in one store, it's 20 in another, but all the little surf shops in my local area have picked them up.
Wow, you and Olive are just celebrities in town. I love that. And I'm sure that will radiate out as time goes by. It hasn't even been a year, you said. So that's
And I think the authenticity too of I'm just a regular person, and my dog's cool, and I thought it was a good message for kids, and that we really do the activity. So even like the picture behind me, that's actually her and I surfing together. So I think when kids realize that, like I have a lot of neighbors that have grandchildren that I gifted them books in the very beginning and just said, I just want feedback. And they were like, well, can I take a picture with the dog? Because my grandkids don't believe that she's a real dog. So, and like I know Olive. So it's been really neat.
That's I see a TV show. I see so many things for you.
Oh, I know. How funny would
So
that
great, so great.
I mean, why not? She could be Paw Patrol, you know?
Totally. All right, so let's talk about that day job. You are a police
Oh,
officer,
yes.
and you have been
Yes.
one for decades, and now you are a
Yeah.
communications director. So bring us full circle. So how did you get from being a police officer to writing children's books and
Yeah, it's kind of an odd mix. I've been a police officer here in South Florida for 22 years. I absolutely love it. And the beauty of my department is we are large enough that we have all the specialty units, but we're small enough that everyone knows each other. So it's really been a blessing, and I've just had an amazing career. I started off in road patrol, which is where everyone has to start off. And then I was a violent crimes detective for the majority of my career. And then I had the absolute honor to be a mounted police officer, so on horseback, which I'm a lifelong equestrian, so that was a dream come true. And now I'm the public information officer. So I do all the, media relations for the department. So it's been a lot of fun, but it's a lot of hard work. And I think with the writing, no one calls the cops and is like, I'm having a great day, come to my house, It's always when someone has had the very worst moment of their, lives, they're calling 911. So if you see that kind of negativity all day long, 10 hours a day, shift, it I think it has a tendency to weigh on people. So there's another book. It's actually called Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement. And when I was in the police academy, they actually passed out this book to all the new rookies. And I remember looking at it and thinking, gotta be kidding me. I'm never gonna give up my hobbies and I'm never gonna, be like this. Like, this is just silly. And then, you forget about it and life goes on. And about 15 years later, we had a female assistant chief, wonderful woman, and she did a mental health wellness class. And she regave us all that book. So I took the dog and I went camping for the weekend, started a nice campfire out in the woods, and I opened this book and I was like, oh my gosh, it's the giving up of hobbies and, not wanting to be around people. And it's like, you gotta find an outlet and you've got to find a source of joy. So for me, it's one thing to give yourself joy and do something you like, but I think you get even more back when you give joy to another person. It almost like magnifies it for yourself, if that makes any sense. So that's even the tagline for the company, is to spread joy. So by spreading joy to other people, it actually gives you even more joy yourself. And
Wow.
it's been a great like creative outlet. You don't get really creative in police work.
Well, we had to reschedule this a couple of times. You're like, I have to go to a shooting. So
Yes,
I
I'm
can't
like, I'm
imagine.
sorry.
That's just amazing, right? To deal with that life and death trauma all the time. And then, so it's wonderful that you're bringing us fantastic stories of Olive.
Oh, thank you. And it's really, the police work has just been my pleasure. It's been my honor to do this.
Well,
So,
we thank you for your service, everyone who
oh, thank you. Thank you.
appreciate it. So you mentioned your brother, Sean Haggerty. So his book is
Yes.
the Dane Cooper novel. The Cabal is one of them. And then he has a sequel,
Yeah.
and he also has a children's book coming out. So let's give a shout out to Sean.
Yes. So he's been amazing. And when I first started this, so kind of like what precipitated this is I was listening to one of his podcasts and he was being interviewed and they were asking him, same thing, how did you go from a special operations soldier to an author? And he was talking about his childhood and how if he went to the store and pointed to candy or a toy, my mother said no, but if anything with the written word, yes. So I was sitting there thinking, well, that was my childhood too. That's my mother. And, we were raised the same. And I was like, yeah, that was really important in our lives. And I'd always kind of written a little bit. When I was teaching horseback riding lessons, I would send my kids home with like fun little homework projects and eventually turned it into, just a cute little binder for kids to take home to learn horsemanship and not just riding. And the riding school director was like, you have to turn this into a book. And I just never really had time for that and just kind of got put on a shelf and forgotten about. And then I'm listening to my brother and I was like, well, I can do this too. So I decided on writing the stories about Olive. And I was a little embarrassed to say something to him. And because that was kind of his thing, you know, he retired from the military and he became this successful author. And then he has been my biggest champion and the biggest encouragement. So I'm very lucky. And his books are so good.
Yes,
So good.
they are. He's come to Elaine's Literary Salon, and we're thrilled to bring him back. Talk a little bit about his children's book that's coming out.
Yeah, so the children's book that he has is The Founder's Font. So I don't want to speak too much for him in case he tells me I got it wrong. But it's really interesting. So he has a partner, and you know, they're really looking at like the Constitution and history and teaching cursive writing and all these like you know, kind of talents and values that have been kind of lost on this generation. So it's Ben the Pen is the main character, and he's so cute. But it's all these kind of literary events, you know, like Ben will be in the pocket of, you know, someone signing, you know, the Declaration of Independence or something. So it makes it a really fun way to learn, because, you know, learning if you're just reading from a textbook can get a little dry. So this is just kind of a way to make it a little bit more relatable.
Well, that's so fantastic. One of our clients is David O. Stewart, whose newest book is The Democracy We Must Keep. So we're going to have to introduce them and see if
Oh,
we can bring
yes. This
John on.
sounds like they'd be right up each other's alley.
Absolutely. The Founding Fathers and the Power of Democracy. Absolutely. So we hope to
Yeah.
bring Sean and especially you to Elaine's Literary Salon on August 8th. One of my magazines, Incandescent Kids, is going to be having a children's book fair. So hopefully we will be selling the Olive books and people can buy them.
Yes.
Yes, very exciting. So that's Elaine's Literary Salon, August 8th. Just a little shout out. And we're going to see you, Carrie Haggerty, so many times, so
Oh,
many times.
thank you.
Yes, I'm so excited for you and Olive and all of your work. You really
Oh, thank you.
did a job.
Well, she wants to say hi to you
All
again.
right, bring her up.
She's
All
over here snoozing.
right, what a perfect way to end our podcast. Thank you, Olive, for being here and such an inspiration. And thank you, Carrie
Oh,
Haggerty, for all your magic.
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm Hope Catskid, proud producer of the show, the Elaine's Literary Salon Show, and PR director here in Old Town Alexandria. Check out Elaine's restaurant, 208 Queen Street, and check out all of our podcasts at Elaine's Literary Salon. All right, Carrie, we will be in touch. And thank you to all
Thank
of our
you.
viewers. We will talk to you soon.